Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
The Dwelling is part of a group of churches that work together to basically live in generosity. And we live in generosity in five capitals. And you can think about this in your own life, whether it's in business or in relationships and families, i.e. here in church specifically. When we say the word capital, you most immediately think of Wall Street, right? You think about money, right? That's financial capital. That's actually the least important of all of them. Sorry, leadership team, it is. And then there is intellectual capital. And you can understand that, right? Knowledge and knowing wise things, strategic planning, all those type of things, parenting techniques. And then there's physical capital. And I think physical capital is probably best understood as time, right? One of the greatest commodities is what? Your time, right? You can't get it back. It's all about how you use it effectively or ineffectively, what you invest in. And so that's physical capital. Then the next one, second most important one is relational capital, people, right? And then the first one, which is relational too, is spiritual capital, right? Our relationship with God. And so the Harvest Partnership is all about just being generous and sharing those capitals together as a group of churches built on trust and just letting Jesus shine and letting the Holy Spirit do what he does. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I'll talk a little bit later about how I've been blessed by this. And so this is an example of how you guys are a blessing and you don't even know it. I promise you that. So as we get started, though, I want to kind of get into what I want to talk about. So Madeline, if you can give me the first slide. Tell me if you've ever felt like this Lego guy, right? Lego guy just in the middle of chaos and disorder. Have you ever had a time in your life where you're like, man, everything around me is breaking apart, everything's disconnected, and I feel like I'm in the mess all alone? Yeah, give me some head nods. You there? Yep, been there, done that, don't want to go back there. Here's the horrible part. It's going to happen again, promise you. It's just the way life is. But you think about this, what God wants to do, right, is he wants to connect people together, and he wants to connect people first with himself and then connect him or connect you with other people, and so that as a community, we can do more together. And that's one of the things we are deeply committed to as believers in Jesus, is that we can't walk life alone. Well, you can, but it's going to be a whole lot better if we walk together, that together we can use our capitals, right? We can use what God's given to us to do a whole lot more. So I want to kind of lean into that and talk about that this morning. Up here you see I've got two different boxes of Legos. This box of Legos is my 12-year-old's. This box of Legos is my 6-year-old's. They're on loan. Forced loan. It's like being voluntold. Their reactions this morning were quite different. The oldest one said, yeah, go ahead, take my Legos, no problem, whatever. And the 6-year-old said, you better not mix those up, Daddy. Well, I know God's forgiving. I'll find out if my 6-year-old is forgiving this afternoon. So this is what I want to do. It's fine with me. So those of you kids who are still in here, if you promise me you'll still listen to God's word, you can come play. I guess I should ask the leadership team if there's a mop around here, but or a broom, we'll figure it out. Don't you? It's okay. Just go to town. Have fun. Awesome. I'll just talk louder. You guys can play and have fun. Does that sound good? So I'm going to move this out of the way. Good. So we've lived this world, right, where you feel like everything's been cast aside, right? and everything is just strewn about, and you're a Lego man in the midst of life, wondering how in the world you're going to live life. And of course, as parents and grandparents, you know this, stepping on Legos is the worst. Yes? That thing called like pounds per square inch does actually matter, right? So I'm going to leave my shoes on this morning as we kind of walk about. And we'll see what you guys create. I'm kind of pumped about this. So we'll have a little display competition here at the end. Yeah? Sound good. Okay, so let's get to God's word real quick. I want to just give you a couple passages throughout this morning, but I've used Legos as my divider this morning. I figured that was appropriate. So the first word from God is this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that we together, whether we're awake or asleep, we might live with him. And verse 11, therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing, right? So what God calls us to do is to keep on, keep on. I love this. In 2 Thessalonians, there's a mouthful, right? He says the same thing. I want you to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Those positive things, those traits of God that he's embedded in you, keep on doing. And so, Madeline, if you can give me the second slide, God calls us to connect with other people, right? To connect with other people and to be connected, which means there has to be authenticity. There has to be forgiveness. There's got to be fun and celebration, right? I love this. Friends, family, and food. Did I get that right? Fire, family, food, whatever. Go. It's fun, yeah. Like, who doesn't like playing with fire? I did hear, didn't Seth use, like, a torch one time? Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I don't have a torch today. I'm sorry. But I do got to just let me go real quick. Like, the leadership team really didn't go that far north. Yeah? Yeah, they're in northern Iowa. That's not really that cold. So I think, Mark, you said you're from Canada, and I heard you use a really long O earlier. Yeah. And so I think you should give it to them that they really kind of wussed out and wimped out. So just saying, Canada is a little bit further north. So, but I'm glad they had fun. Ice fishing is a good thing. But this is a good reminder, right? So it's important to lean into this idea of Sabbath and rest and connection, right? And how often we live in a world that's chaotic and busy and overflowed with so many to-dos. And what God's probably trying to call us to do is to slow down, find rhythms of rest, you know, get on the floor and play with our kids or our grandkids. Because you can't take time back. And let's be honest, whatever you're doing is probably not as significant as just letting them play and be with them. But we adults, we let all this intellectual stuff or our financial stuff get in the way of the top three things of spiritual capital and, frankly, relational capital. Those other three seem to consume our lives, right? And so the question is, that linchpin, the one in the middle, physical capital, or if I could just call it time capital, where are we going to invest our time? Are we going to invest it in the first two, spiritual and relational capital? Or are we going to spend most of our time or anxieties and stressors in the bottom two, financial and intellectual capital? I'll speak for my own life. When life's going smoother, I didn't say circumstances are better. I said life is smoother. Did you hear me? There's a difference. Let me just play that out. Life is smoother because I'm able to deal with the circumstances of life and I'm able to find joy in the midst of the suffering or the chaos or the disconnection. Not necessarily that it's easier. I think there's a difference there. That I have the capacity and the joy to be able to lean on the Lord and let him who desires to give us salvation and deliverance. Think about that. Deliverance from financial stress. That almost sounds like a miracle. Deliverance from trying to keep up with the Joneses, i.e. sports culture or time culture, right? It's So often in the Old Testament, when you read the word salvation, it's actually talking about deliverance. Deliverance from whatever that anxiety or that struggle is. And so here's my question for you right now. What have you been talking to God about, or what have you been like longing in your heart to be delivered from? If someone who had the capability and the capacity to say, give me one thing, give me one thing that I could deliver for you, how would you answer that person? Got something? What's the one thing? And I know there's more than one thing, but if you could just choose one, what's one thing that God might come and deliver you from? And are you willing to name it? Are you willing to pray for it fervently? Are you willing to open up and allow other people to speak into it? Are you willing to build the capacity? Because at first you're like, no way, that's too embarrassing, or that's too challenging, or that's too impossible. But we worship a God who's done the absolute impossible. And when we see challenges and we see ends and impossibilities, he just sees great opportunity to reveal himself in the most powerful and abundant of ways. So what's your thing? Because our God is a God who desires to connect. And thinking about this, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but think about God before the creation of the world. Before humans, before light. What existed? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each of them unique in their gifts, unique in their abilities, and yes, they work together in this connected way, and they're a community. And out of an overflow of their love, they created the world, and they created humans in the image of God. So from the very get-go, our God is a God of connection, a God of community, and out of overflow of connection, out of an overflow of his love, he loves and he makes and he creates. And he invites you and I by the salvation of Jesus Christ to be co-creators with him in a sense. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not of your works, so that no one can boast. It goes on to say in Ephesians 2:10 that you are God's what? Workmanship. If you will, co-creator. Your God's workmanship is these kiddos are here building. Who knows what they're building? It's going to be fun. We'll see what happens at the end. Don't ever let Ember know how cute she is, okay? She's got the most amazing eyes, the cutest kid ever. Don't tell my kids that either. Scratch that from the podcast, will you? For you are God's workmanship, created by God to do good works in advance. He's gone ahead of us. So not only does our God, number one, create out of love, but he also chooses to use us. And so when we are not being community, or when we're being more isolated, right, we're actually robbing other Christians of the opportunity and robbing other parts of humanity from allowing God to shine through them. When you're like, I'm isolated, can we go back to that slide with the Lego guy in isolation? When we live like this and we choose to live like this, we are robbing a fellow humanity to live out what God's created them to do. So I get it sometimes, and I've been there. Trust me, there's still times I'm there where I'm like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I really don't want to open up. And I can deal with my own guilt. But once you reframe that same issue and you say, but you're robbing other people, those of us who are helper types, yeah, now you got me. Shoot. Right? I get mad. Like, oh, you cornered me. You're right. Who in your life's isolated? It could be emotionally, it could be any one of those capitals, right? It could be spiritually isolated, it could be relationally isolated. Maybe they're isolated because of time, because they, you know, whatever. The corporation's got them running ragged 80 hours a week. Who's God calling you to connect? I mean, isn't this fascinating? Let's go back and forth here a little bit. So we talked about God's creation. Let's talk about the beginning of building blocks. Raise your hand in your childhood if you played with building blocks. Here we go. Give a little whoop whoop. All right, there we go. Raise your hand if you remember when Legos first came out. And those of you who've got your hand up, what made Legos revolutionary? They connect. I mean, that's straight up, that's what it is. They connect together, right? I mean, I still have those little building blocks that have like ABCs on them and pictures. We still got that in our house. We need to probably hand them over because we're done with that now. But those are not as cool as Legos, right? Because they have this ability to connect. And every single one of these, if we can go back to that C, every single one of them has a different color. They have a different function. There's incredible diversity in Legos, right? And yet, though there's this great diversity, every single one of them can do what? They can connect in some way. Doesn't that tell you something about humanity? And about the God of connection and the God of creation, the God who desires people not to live in isolation, but he desires people to connect together with great diversity and great function. He's created each and every one of us in the body of Christ with different skills, gifts, and abilities, right? You know this. Those of you who've read the scriptures talk about, especially in 1 Corinthians, right, that the body, the church, right, is something that the head and the hands and the feet, right? Members of one body. All of us are connected in some way, and God desires to use it for his glory. So, those of you who have been driving down at least I-45 may have seen something downtown. There's this really wild thing that's going on right now here in Houston. Also a really wild thing that's going on, it was advertised on the Super Bowl, this TV show. You guys know what I'm talking about? What is it called? Lego Masters, right? So a competition of these adults building Legos and Lego creations. I think it started over in the UK. It's come over. They advertised it during the Super Bowl. And so like major, major competitions. I'm sure they'll like win $1 million or something like that. Who knows? Lego Masters, what I think is more cool than that is down at the Houston Museum of Natural Science is this artist, and I'm going to totally butcher his name. It's Nathan Nathan. Does that sound good? We'll go with Nathan. Let's look at this next slide. Isn't that incredible? All right, so it lacks diversity at the moment, okay, because it's all yellow. And there's color, but certainly size, right? It says something about connection, doesn't it? I mean, in one sense, it's like weird, but on the other sense, it's like, wait. What do you observe about their behavior? There's a connection, for sure. They're actually looking at each other in the eye, yeah. Pretty awesome. I mean, this is the way God's created us, right? For sure, right? Face-to-face, eye-to-eye connection. And then life brings its challenges. You want to go to the next one. I want you to turn to the person next to you and share a reaction. Ready, set, go. All right, someone bold enough, willing to connect with me, connect with other people in the room. What's some of the reactions? Cool. Okay, what else?
Pain.
What's that?
Pain.
Emotional. Emotional, physical, spiritual pain.
Anguish.
Anguish. That's good. What else? Sadness. Yeah. Helpless. Scared, humble. So you say all of that. Which piece of art are you talking about?
Both. What? Define both for me. Someone say the blue and the red one. Who said both over here? What both are you thinking of? So I've seen this multiple times. It wasn't until today that I actually like opened my eyes to not focus on the problem in the middle, right? I mean, usually my eyes go to the blue and the gray. I've totally ignored everything in the background previously. And I didn't realize that until like 30 seconds ago. So some of you said red. Who said red? When you said red, what were you thinking when you saw red originally? Agony. Yeah, go ahead, bud. Jesus dying on the cross. Wow. What else? Let me throw something out. What if I said victory and praise? Isn't it interesting how the context of our lives start to define the rest of our lives? And we don't know. It's art. Welcome to interpretation, right? But who says that red is pain and grief? I mean, it can be. But it could just as be hallelujah, praise God, thanks for the deliverance. You're awesome. You're incredible. You're victorious. And I'm part of your family. Praise be to God. And how that can speak into sometimes, right, the anguish and the suffering, the pain that just almost seems impossible, right? Or is the blue and the gray something like Jesus holding someone who's dead and he speaks life into their life and then brings them back from the dead? I mean, I don't know. But I think all of them are possibilities. Like, what way are we looking at our lives? Which piece of art are we allowing to frame it? Or are we allowing one situation of our lives to frame the rest of our lives? I don't know. There's another piece of artwork in here, isn't there? Yeah, what's that one? Yeah, the human. And what else? That photo. You think the artist set this whole thing up in a unique, intentional way? I sure do. If you look close enough, you can even see it's got kind of bluish haze in it to match the blue Lego guy. No doubt, I would think. Trying to draw a connection, yeah? Say that again. She said it's victory. Victory and triumph. Yeah, raise your hand if you kind of like that to kind of describe the room here. Yeah, there's some victory and triumph going on. I can see that for sure. So the Psalms say this. This is Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. I see this passage and I start to think, Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Give you rest. Sabbath. The isolation, the chaos. Some of my capitals may be way off kilter and just consuming at the moment, but God says, come to me and you will find rest. Rest in me despite the circumstances. Rest in me in the midst of the circumstances. Rest in me for the circumstances. Rest in me so that we can move beyond the circumstances. Rest in me so that we can do something with the circumstances, because it's in the midst of chaos and crisis that God does his most powerful stuff. Right, it isn't my faith that allows me to like hang on in the midst of trial and temptation. It's the fact that God's held on to me in the midst of the trial and temptation, that he's never let go. Man, if it was up to me, I already am a hot mess. Just imagine what it would be without him, right? Come to me, all who are weary and heaven laden, and I will. Listen, you hear that declaration, that promise, I will with all certainty give you rest. Rest in me. Go to the next slide. Galatians chapter 6. I can find it. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the teachings of Jesus. I give credit to Seth for this phrase because it's really quite significant in my faith walk and what we're doing in the Harvest Partnership. The goal is to connect the disconnected to Jesus. Yeah? That's it. The precursor to that is one that we're made for connection. I think we've established that, and you would certainly agree with that. Two, that we would connect with humanity, because that's the way God's made us, made in the image of God. He's not made us to be an isolated creation. And even nature out there, right, is not something. The animals prove this point, right? They travel in packs, they travel in flocks. Even the Canadian geese, which is just amazing, migrant birds and all that. Isn't that wild? That's absolutely wild. But even in Christ, right, that as God's people, we are called to connect and carry, Galatians 6, one another's burdens. To be known and to know, right? And I don't mean this, I mean this, right? Relationship, spiritual capital, to know and to be known. That's what God's called us to do. So what's this kind of transformed into? And I love this because every one of us, whether we've grown up from like infancy knowing who Jesus is, or whether we're asking questions, every one of us is on a continuum. And we're never like totally there until he brings us home. And it's this, that our desire is to connect to those who are disconnected from Jesus, his church, and his mission. And every one of us, if you look at those on a continuum, three of them on a continuum, we're at different places at different times, right? Like all of us could grow and get better, but the way we do that is A, leaning into Jesus, but two, leaning into one another, or to use the Legos, right, to connect, right, to one another. So I don't know what the Holy Spirit's saying to you this morning. There's a whole lot of whatever just came out of my mouth, words. But one thing I know is that these objects actually teach me a whole lot about what God's been trying to do with humanity from the beginning and what he's going to do with us in the future. Because when Christ comes again, which he promised, that he's going to come and he's going to restore this chaos and disorder. And sometimes you think about the pain in this world, right? You think about sin, but sin's really just a disordering of the creation that he originally made, right? And so if all these strewn Legos, right, are kind of spread out and it's a disaster, right, God's bringing these things together and he's going to make all things new. And he's going to bring order and beauty in relationship. It's just like these kids, if they've been working hard, right? They've been building things that have some sense and some order to them, right? So with that, let's have you guys, all of you kids, can you guys pause? Can you come on up front here? I want you guys to share with us what you've made. Can you do that? Yeah? So you got, so you like connected a whole slew of guys. That's pretty awesome. Can you put it up here? So I think people are going to, after service, want to come look at your awesome creations. Okay. No, you built it too. Tell us. Awesome. Noah built a helicopter. Oh, and you guys helped each other out?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. All right, friend, what do you got? Tell us your name. You built a ship?
Yeah.
Is it like a flying ship?
Yeah.
Awesome, dude. Thanks. Can you put it up here? A robot maker? Awesome, and you guys work together? Look at that, multiplication. I think that's a pretty awesome thing. All right, what else we got? Anybody else?
My name's Noah, and I made a top.
Oh, you made a top, like, spinning it? Nice! Functional. Can you put that up there? Can we give the kids a round of applause? Awesome. All right, you guys can, actually, can you do me a favor? If you're willing, you don't have to, just kind of try to make some piles so we can clean this thing up a little bit later, okay? That's awesome. Thank you. Look at these servants of Jesus. That's awesome. The power of persuasion. So, if we go one more slide, if you don't mind. Stay there. My apologies. So here's just my question this morning, right? John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus says, Father, you've sent me into the world, and so now I send them, that is, disciples of Jesus, into the world. What's the Holy Spirit laying on you? Like, in regards to that, God's made us for connection. He's made us to use our gifts, skills, and abilities. He's called us not to live in isolation, but in connection. He's called us and given us purpose, even when we don't think we have a purpose, and sends us to connect to people. And so what's the Spirit laying on you? How is he calling you to lean into and to grow into building deeper or new connections? And I know not all of you have like a pen and paper, but I want you to like in your mind, if you had a sketch pad, what word would you write or what picture would you paint? Don't you love this? Disorder to order. Those of you who are OCD and struggle with OCD, or those of you who are type A's, isn't this kind of a purifying moment for you? Yeah, very much so, yeah. Like, oh, this is so good. You think you can name something today? What God's laying out for you?